just want to tell you guys something that nobody in the money conversation is saying out loud. Most people don't have a strategy problem. They have an identity problem. They were handed a story about money before they were old enough to question it, that maybe it's evil, money doesn't grow on trees, it is scarce, that people like them don't build real wealth, and that wanting more makes you greedy, that the ones who have it either got lucky or sold something they shouldn't have, and they've been making financial decisions from inside that story ever since, unconsciously, automatically. And every time they get close to a breakthrough, that old story pulls them back like a rubber band snapping home. And then there's the other trap, okay, the one the internet sells on a massive loop: hustle harder, rise and grind. 6 figures in 6 weeks, passive income while you sleep, drop shipping, crypto, the next thing, the next shortcut, the next person selling you the idea that wealth is something you hack rather than something that you build. And people buy it. They're buying into this, and it's not because they're stupid, but because they're desperate. And desperation plus a scarcity wound is the most profitable combination in the market. So, this episode, we're still in the season of rebellion, okay, is about breaking both of those traps, the generational story and the shiny object, what real financial rebellion actually looks like, okay? And why the most dangerous thing you can do to a system that profits from your financial dependency, and that's exactly what the government is doing, and they don't care about you. They're mocking us while tax dollars are being funneled to sleazy programs that don't exist and shell corporations that are probably hired to traffic kids. It's an ugly cycle out there. And that is why I think it's been important to do these rebellion episodes. But the best thing you could do to give a middle finger to the agency right now is to build genuine, sustainable, soul intact wealth and refuse to apologize for it. And welcome back to Listen Bitch Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Lynette. This is the rebellion season. We are in season 10. I believe we're on episode 3 of the new season. Okay. If you're new here, I help people who think differently, who feel deeply, who have been told their whole lives that they're too much, kind of step into their actual potential by taking radical responsibility for building a life they want with God, not a life managed by fear, not outsourced to a system that profits from their smallness, actually built on purpose with integrity. Episode 1 was about the one thing you can be grounded in when everything feels shaky. Episode 2 was really about your body and kind of what's being done to it. This episode is about your money and the beliefs and the wounds and the cultural traps that are keeping you from building wealth without losing yourself in the process. I am still actively looking for sponsors this season, brands that align with sovereignty, health, truth, and someone that has ethics and morals and can share values. People who are building something real and want to get in front of an audience that actually takes action. Okay, so please reach out. And yeah, let's get into it. We'll start with the hustle culture lie and why it's keeping you broke. I fell for it. And I'm telling you right now, hustle culture is not a path to wealth. It is a path to exhaustion with a productivity aesthetic slapped on top of it. And it has made a small number of people very rich, okay? And trust me, I made money in the hustle culture, okay? I've stayed home with my kids and launching that business, I had that mindset. But it's going to be mostly the ones selling the hustle to everybody else that are doing the greatest job, and those people seem to be the most miserable, okay? Hustle culture is killing everybody. But this is the model. Take people who are hungry, who have real drive and real potential, who genuinely want to build something, convince them that the problem is that they're not working hard enough, not waking up early enough, not grinding long enough. Sell them the course, sell them the mastermind, the blueprint, the morning routine, the mindset hack, and you keep them in a loop of consuming content about success instead of actually helping them build it. And when it doesn't work, when they're years deep, $10,000 into courses, burnt to the ground, and no closer to the life that they wanted, tell them they just didn't want it badly enough. That's the toxic culture, that they quit too soon, that someone else is out there outworking them right now. And it's one of the cruelest con jobs running because it targets people with real ambition and it weaponizes that ambition against them. It keeps them busy enough to feel productive, broke enough to stay dependent, and guilty enough to keep buying the next solution. And it does all of this while calling itself empowerment. Real wealth, you guys, is not built in a sprint. It is not hacked, shortcutted, or manifested through a vision board and a 5 a.m. alarm. It is built through clarity about what you're actually building and why, through skills that compound over time, through showing up consistently without burning yourself down, and through making decisions from a long-term foundation instead of that scarcity panic. This is not glamorous. It does not make a good Instagram post. But it is what actually works. And the reason most people don't do it is not because they don't know about it. It's because the scarcity wound doesn't let them trust it. And so let's talk about that wound and where it comes from. And this is the part that most money conversations skip because it's really uncomfortable and it doesn't sell a program. But it is the part that kind of determines everything. Scarcity mindset is not a mindset problem. I used to think it was. It is a nervous system response that was installed long before you had the capacity to examine it. And it came from watching parents stress about bills. It came from being a 15-year-old and being on your own, emancipating on your own and having bills and responsibilities. It came from the dinner table conversations where money was always the reason things couldn't happen. It came from the church that taught you, that wanting this is not a good thing, and it's not spiritual, okay? It's suspicious. It came from the neighborhood, you grew up in, the family you came from, the community that collectively agreed without saying it out loud that a certain level of financial life was the ceiling. And people who pushed past it were either lucky or, I mean, we all say it, they sell drugs, right? Like they had to have been selling drugs, or they're too big for their britches. And that's a generational wound. And it runs deep because it wasn't just an idea you were handed. It's survival information. In the environment you came from, maybe staying small was actually safer. Maybe standing out financially meant standing out, period. And standing out had consequences. Maybe wanting more felt like a betrayal of the people around you who didn't have it. The wound made sense in context. And the problem is that you carried it into a completely different context. And now it's running financial decisions in a life it was never designed to be a part of. And this wound shows up as the inability to change what you're worth, as, underpricing services to make it easier for people to say yes, as giving away so much for free that the people who benefit most from your work never have to invest in it. It shows up as the guilt that creeps in when you start making real money, the voice that says, who do you think you are? People are struggling. You should be doing more, giving more, shrinking back down to a size that doesn't make anyone uncomfortable. It shows up as a self-sabotage that hits right when things are starting to work. The unconscious tank job that happens when success starts to feel bigger than the identity you were handled allows for. And here's the spiritual layer that I think is really, it's deeply important. The belief that money is inherently corrupt, that wealth and godliness are intention. That a good Christian person should want less rather than more. And that is a doctrine of smallness, and it is not what scripture actually teaches. God is not impressed by your poverty. Jesus never told his disciples to stay broken, dependent, and unable to resource the work they were called to resource. He talked about stewardship, about multiplication, about the servant who buried his talent in the ground out of fear and called it faithfulness. And was told he was wrong. Financial rebellion for someone who takes their faith seriously is not greed. It is taking seriously the responsibility to build something with what you've been given instead of hiding it to stay safe. And then there's that self-sabotage pattern that I am all too familiar with. Why you keep pulling the plug? And I want to talk about the people who feel called to more, but you keep blowing it up right before shit gets real. Because this is one of the most painful and least talked about patterns in the building something space. And I want to name it directly. And you know who you are. You start strong, you get momentum, things are actually working, clients are coming in, money's moving, the vision is starting to take shape. And then something happens. You get overwhelmed, you make a decision that undermines it, you disappear from your own business for 2 weeks, you pick a fight with a key relationship, you blow the budget on something that doesn't make sense. You suddenly decide the whole strategy is wrong and you have to start over. And then you're back at the beginning, and part of you is almost relieved. And that relief right there is the tell. That's the tell. Because it means the success was scarier than the failure. Failure is familiar. Failure is the wound predicted. Success, real, visible, undeniable success, requires you to become someone your original story didn't have a category for. And your nervous system, wired to protect you from the unfamiliar, interprets that becoming as danger. So it engineers an exit, and it's not conscious. You're not doing this on purpose, but the pattern is real and it is running you. And until you can see it clearly, you cannot interrupt the pattern. The self-sabotage is not evidence that you don't want it. It is evidence that the identity hasn't caught up to the vision yet. And the work, like the real work, the work that makes everything else possible, is closing that gap. Not by working harder, not by buying another program, not by willing yourself through the resistance with sheer force, by actually dealing with what the wound is protecting, by understanding that you are allowed to become someone new, that becoming someone your family didn't have a blueprint for is not betrayal. It's often exactly what you were put here to do, and that God calling you forward into more is not an invitation to anxiety. It is an invitation to trust. So what does financial rebellion actually look like here? Because it's not going to be the highlight reel. It doesn't look like a screenshot of your Stripe dashboard or a video of you on a private jet or a course that promises you'll replace your income in 90 days. Those things are either real and cherry-picked, or they're props, and either way, they're not the point. Financial rebellion looks like knowing exactly what you charge and why, not apologizing for it. It looks like building something that creates real value for people, that you stand behind completely, that doesn't require you to manipulate, mislead, or compromise your integrity to sell it. I love representing the MLMs I represent. Both companies have incredible integrity and they serve absolute incredible purpose. Very proud of them. One of them is supplements and they're backed by blood tests, and another is zero ingredient Vibrotactile patches that literally saved my husband's life. Integrity. There's integrity in the ownership, in the products. I love that. I've never been able to sell something I couldn't believe in. That's what we're called to do. It looks like making more money decisions from a clear long-term strategy rather than a fear response. Not panic buying courses when you're behind. Not slashing your prices when things get slow. Not chasing every shiny object that promises a faster path. It looks like understanding that your financial life is a reflection of your inner world, and that the fastest way to change the numbers is to change the story running underneath them. And it also, you guys, this is a tough one. It also looks like being honest about what you actually want. Not what sounds humble enough to say it out loud, not what won't make your family uncomfortable, what you actually want, the income, the freedom, the ability to help who you want to help, the financial margin to say no to things that compromise you, the legacy you want to leave, writing it down, owning it without apology, and then building toward it with some seriousness and consistency. That you'd give anything else God asks you to steward. Because this is the truth. Money is not the goal. Money is not your definition of success. Money is the resource that funds the mission. And a person with a genuine calling and zero financial resources is a person whose impact is permanently capped by what other people decide to give them. Financial sovereignty is what lets you build what the fuck you're actually supposed to build. Serve who you're actually supposed to serve and walk away from anything that requires you to become someone that you're not. That is not greed. That is freedom. And freedom is one of the things the system is most invested in keeping you away from. They do not want you free. And this is going to show up when, you're someone who's been running a business for 2 years and you're still charging what you charged on day one because raising your prices feels terrifying. You'd rather stay underpaid than risk someone saying no. It shows up when you're brilliant at what you do and completely avoidant about the money side of it because dealing with money directly means confronting everything the wound has been whispering to you, of you, at you, your whole life. It shows up at the family gathering where you share that things are going well and the response is suspicion instead of celebration. A comment about not getting too big for boots, a question about whether it's really sustainable, a subtle pulling back that tells you loud and clear that your success is a problem for people who love you. And because you're wired for belonging, because the people-pleasing wound is right there waiting, you start minimizing it. You play it down. You make yourself smaller so the room feels more comfortable, and the vision quietly loses altitude. Or when you find out about a real opportunity, something legitimate, something aligned, something that actually makes sense, and your first response isn't excitement, it's suspicion. You guys, I spent years like that, in just that suspicion because of all the stories. And now I have two incredible companies, opportunities to help people and share products that I love for it. That scarcity wound has been burned enough times that it's decided good things are probably traps. And so you talk yourself out of it before you even fully investigate it. And then 6 months later, you watch someone else do exactly the thing and win, and you feel that in the pit of your stomach. So, first thing that I need you guys to do is find the story. Before strategy, before tactics, before you touch a single financial tool, write down what you were taught about money growing up. Not what you think now, what you absorbed then. What did the adults around you say about people who had money? What did they say about wanting it? What did silence communicate? What did the stress communicate? Get it out of your body and onto paper where you can actually look at it because you cannot change a story that you don't even acknowledge. Second, you need to find one place where you're undervaluing yourself and correct it. One price that's too low, one service that you're giving away for free, one boundary that you've been too scared to hold. And you don't have to fix everything at once. I'm saying one thing. Raise one price, have one conversation. Watch what happens in your nervous system when you do. That reaction is information. And that is the wound showing itself. And showing itself is the beginning of it losing power over you. And you have to slow down the shiny object reflex. I see this especially in the MLM world, right? Issues with one thing, and they're just chasing one thing after another. And next thing you know, you've been in 10 companies in 2 years, and nobody trusts what's good anymore. The next time you feel the pull to a new business, a new program, a new strategy, a new thing that promises to change everything, I want you to wait 72 hours before you decide. I did that with both of my companies and prayed a lot. It was more than 72 hours. And it's not because opportunity is bad, but because decisions made from scarcity panic and decisions made from grounded strategy look identical in the moment, and they look wildly different 6 months later. So, give yourself enough space to tell the difference. And then I want you to do the thing that you've been circling, the thing you know you're supposed to be building, the thing that scares the fuck out of you, not because it might fail, but because it might actually work. Start it ugly, start it small, start it messy, and start it before you feel ready, because ready is not a feeling that shows up before the action. It is a feeling that shows up because of it. Listen, bitch, we're three episodes in and we are just warming up. I am serious about this rebellion. You are here for the human experience. You are here to co-create a life with God. And there is so much shit happening around us right now. The devil is busy. The best thing you could do to rebel is to get your house in order, to get your life straight. If this episode had landed somewhere real, if you recognize yourself in the self-sabotage and that generational wound and the hustle trap, don't let the feeling fade without doing something with it. Like the show, subscribe, leave a written review. It takes less than 2 minutes, and I promise it matters more than you think. And I'm so grateful for the people that are leaving the reviews. But that review is how someone else who needs the conversation actually finds it. Go to brandonlinette.com, get plugged into everything I'm building this season. Get over to YouTube. Y'all help me over there. I'm trying to get monetized. Subscribe, watch the full version of the episode. Okay. They're both worth your time, watching and listening. Do it both at the same time, separately. I don't care. You were not called to a small financial life. You were called to stewardship, to build, to multiply, to resource the mission with everything you have. And the rebellion is deciding that the story you're handed about money does not get to be the story that you live. You get to write a different one starting now.